Psalms 120 through 134 are a group of 15 psalms called the songs or the psalms of ascents. The background for many of these psalms was the captivity in Babylon. The reason they're called songs or psalms of ascents is that the people of Israel literally sang them as they were ascending Mount Zion three times a year for the feasts in Jerusalem. So this message and the message tonight will draw out crystals from this group of psalms. The title of message 9 is The Preciousness of Zion and Jerusalem and the Situation of the Overcomers in Zion. I hope we will become clear as we proceed that Jerusalem, the city, typifies the church. To be in a genuine local church as an expression of the body of Christ is to be in Jerusalem. But in the city of Jerusalem, there was a portion called the city of David, Zion, that was not only the center, but the uplifting of the city. And we need to be willing to be deeply impressed that three matters really come together. Zion, the reality of the body of Christ, and the overcomers, the overcoming ones. To those that were ascending to worship the Lord at the feasts, there was a deep sense of the preciousness of Jerusalem and Zion. And the first major part of the message will develop this. It is a deeply inward matter. It is a matter of an inward journey as we are practicing the church life. And then we will consider the situation of the overcoming ones in Zion. That is, their standing, their status, their position in relation to their surroundings. They are in Zion. They live in a certain reality. And actually, they are this reality. Romans 1 says, among the Old Testament types, there is God's holy city, Jerusalem. And within this city, there is a high peak called Zion, on which the temple was built. The Bible presents Zion as a height. We need to understand this according to what the Bible presents it. Although God is mysterious and invisible, there are two earthly signs of God's existence: Zion and Jerusalem. Psalms 120 through 134 indicate that Zion, the center, and Jerusalem, the circumference, remain deeply in the consideration of the people of Israel. They were very concerned for Zion and Jerusalem. I'd like to refer now to a verse from Psalm 84. The highways to Zion are in their hearts. We need to consider, what does this mean? And can you say, or would you like to be able to say, that in your heart there are highways leading into God, with the goal being Zion, the reality of the body of Christ? If the highways of Zion are in our hearts, while we are practicing all the God-ordained matters to carry out His New Testament economy, and while we are living a practical church life, there will be a corresponding deep inward development taking place within us. If there is no such development, we are outside of the intrinsic significance of the Lord's recovery. Brother Lee was deeply concerned about this in some fellowship to co-workers in 1994, published in the book at the end, The Practical Points Concerning Blending. He says, "You do not know how heavy is my concern for you." And then he said to the brothers, "You need to see the intrinsic scene of the divine things." The psalmists were on an inward journey. Their heart was set on Zion because God's heart was set on Zion. And there was something in their being that matched what is in God's heart. I cannot say too much, but I can testify this. If day by day in your personal conversation with the Lord, in your prayers, you would pray, "Lord, cause the desire of your heart to become the desire of my heart," gradually, something deep will be wrought into your being. We'll read toward the end of the message God's direct speaking. In a sense, He interrupts the psalmist's writing. He speaks directly. "I have desired Zion." Have you ever considered what it means for the true and living God to desire something? And when we are willing to apply the high peak of the divine revelation, the truth that God became man to make man God in life and nature, we apply that by praying. We may pray, "Lord, make my heart a duplication of your heart in every possible way." And then eventually, at least to some extent, you'll become a sister or a brother who is inwardly one with God in the desire of his heart. Because this desire is part of your being. It's not a doctrine. It's not a mere revelation. It's not only a vision. It is part of what you are in Christ. Then in the midst of everything, of anything, in your human life, in your church life, you will realize you are on an inward journey. In the Old Testament, it was a physical journey to a height to worship God. With us in the Lord's recovery today, it is a journey with the Spirit of reality, a journey into God and His economy to arrive at God's goal. And those who are on this journey have two characteristics according to this point we're on. B. Zion and Jerusalem are deeply in their consideration. I think it would be good for all of us, beginning with the co-workers, then the elders, the responsible ones, the serving ones, full-time serving ones, trainees, to ask before the Lord, do we deeply consider anything in relation to the body of Christ, the reality of the body of Christ? What are the considerations deep in our being? What occupies us? Paul identifies a very sad situation in Philippians chapter 2. He's about to send Timothy to them. He says he has no one like-souled, that's like-souled with himself, who will genuinely care for what concerns them. Then he explains, for all seek their own things, not the things of Christ Jesus. They're believers. They're in the church. You could say they are one with Paul in his ministry, at least outwardly. But they're not intrinsically one with him. Their soul doesn't match the apostle's soul. But Timothy's did. And Paul doesn't say they all sought worldly things. He doesn't say they were lovers of money. He said they all were seeking their own things in such a way that the things concerning Christ Jesus were really set aside in their being. This is the great peril, at least in the West. I don't know how many emails, how many other kinds of communication coming to us are rooted in seeking, saints seeking their own things. We have needs, but we have a Father. Don't you know you have a Father? He knows what you need. The Lord needs more brothers and sisters with an inward capacity to consider deeply what is on God's heart. This is just the way they are. Then the other characteristic is they were very concerned for Zion and Jerusalem. In speaking, I must be on the podium for visibility, but believe me, I'm not above anyone, and I'm not above my fellow co-workers. But maybe we should consider a little before the Lord, what are we very concerned about in the Lord's recovery? Very concerned. Who is very concerned about the building up of the body of Christ? Who is so concerned for the preparation of the bride of Christ that she or he could say, I live for this. I breathe for this. I exist so that my life would be a contribution to the fulfillment of the Lord's longing for a counterpart. Please do not misunderstand me. I do not believe I am unbalanced. The church life is practical. Human life is practical. The Christian life is practical. The work is practical. We must do many outward things, or there will be no carrying out of God's economy. But if that's all we have, there's no Zion. No reality of the body of Christ. No overcoming ones conquering everything that hinders the building up of the body and the preparation of the bride. On a matter such as this, and I have the faith and the assurance to ask God Himself to witness on my behalf, in a matter such as this, the only way is to open our being to Him in love and to give the Lord the ground to touch anything in us that is incompatible with His heart's desire, and then to give Him the way to build Himself into our being, constituting Himself into us, saturating us, permeating us, really making us God in life and nature and in every possible way apart from the Godhead and being an object of worship. Then our being corresponds to Him. Then in our heart, there will be highways to Zion. On Mount Zion, we have the church, the body of Christ, and God's economy for God's testimony. Here we have the reality of all these things. Now we come to a major, major section on Jerusalem and especially Zion. Jerusalem typifies the church, and Mount Zion typifies the overcomers in the church. And at this juncture, I'm responsible to say some things, hopefully with clarity, concerning overcomers, especially for those who are brand new. We'd like you to know that we don't use terms casually. The terms have meaning. The word overcomer in our usage is a translation first of a Greek verb, nikao, meaning to conquer or to be victorious. When the Lord Jesus is calling for overcomers among the churches, He doesn't say to the overcomer, I will give this or that. He uses, and here you need to remember a little junior high grammar, as boring as it was. The Lord uses a participial phrase to the one who overcomes. It's a verb functioning with the significance of a noun. There is someone who is actively conquering something. So an overcomer is someone who's living, who's serving, whose being is an experience of conquering what frustrates God's economy and of carrying out what is in God's economy. And with these overcomers, there is this principle. They bear a responsibility that the entire church should have taken up and carried out. But the church as a whole has failed, so they are not super. They're really not special. They're actually normal in being willing to carry out this responsibility on behalf of the Lord and on behalf of the entire church, so that through their victory, the Lord can consider the church as having fulfilled its mission. Surely the overcoming ones will receive a reward. But in their being, reward is not the primary thing. In their being, in their heart, are the highways to Zion. They have a deep consideration. They are very concerned. The body is something in their being. The desire of the Lord's heart is the desire of their heart. They merge, they mingle. They're in union. They're incorporated with the Lord in this. And they want the Lord whom they love and whom they serve to finally have His counterpart prepared for Him, a glorious church for His satisfaction. They want to see the body of Christ built up and the new man perfected, so the enemy is crushed under our feet. So they aspire to overcome for the Lord's sake, and then for the sake of the entire church. They fight for all the brothers. They're not a super class. They don't separate themselves as elitists. The whole body is in their heart. Every member matters to them. They are overcoming, not so they can get a crown or two merely, but that God's purpose will be fulfilled. Now, regarding overcoming, we need to avoid a mistake. According to Paul's pattern, no one has the ground to say that he is an overcomer until the end, till we finish the course. I have received emails, I have to say honestly, from deluded persons who boast they're an overcomer, they're a first fruit, they're part of the man-child. This is serious. You may have a great victory today and be devastated tomorrow. This is not theory to us. But we can receive from the Lord an aspiration to be an overcomer. And we can pray to be an overcomer. Now, one other matter, and this is a specific application of the function of the overcomers to what we are considering in this message. The overcomers are for the building up of the body of Christ. No one among the local churches on the earth today who does not care for the building up of the body of Christ can be an overcomer. You may say, I overcame my temper. I overcome the bed. I can get up every morning early to read the Word. I've overcome my besetting sin. Very good. And very individualistic. And very private. What the Lord needs today in the churches are saints who are willing to be produced by the Lord as the sevenfold intensified spirit to those who give, to be those who give themselves to the Lord for the building up of the body of Christ as a reality in the churches. You may do a splendid work in teaching the truth, in being constituted with the truth. You may do an excellent work in caring for others with a loving heart. You may have admirable success in your propagation. You can point to so many baptized this year, churches established. We need all of this. But as the Lord looks into your being, what is it all for in you? What is it unto? Is there a connection between your reading of the Word, your desire to grow in life, your experience of Christ, your enjoyment of Christ, your service in the church, your functioning in the meetings, your announcing the gospel, your labor in the work, even your sufferings and your dealings? Is there a connection deep in your being between this and the Lord's desire to have the body built up as a reality? This is the commission of the overcomers in this age. So the overcomers see the body, they know the body, and they care for the body. And I was reminded by the indwelling Spirit yesterday. I checked the notation in an older New Testament. In December of 1995, our brother Lee was meeting with, I believe, about eight of us in his study, having some very substantial fellowship. Then he gave us a charge to us personally, a charge, not advice, a charge. And I just read to you the last of the few statements he made. You have to be an overcomer to keep every principle of the body. Maybe it was in about 1998. We had an entire conference on keeping the principles of the body. And in the 13 years since then, principle after principle after principle has been violated. It's a conference. We were there. Heard that. Read that. Know that, done that, so to speak. After Brother Lee spoke that word, I was considering before the Lord. I received this. But I don't even know every principle of the body. What are they? How can I keep what I don't know? So that word begot an aspiration. The overcomers, and this will sound extreme to some, they care for God's interests above everything else, including their necessities. I had the privilege and the honor of being in India recently to have fellowship with these dear saints. I'd like to testify on behalf of them, the native Indians and the co-workers from Taiwan. They care above God, they care for God's interests above everything else. Everything else. So you see the work of the body. You see something in resurrection that the life-giving Spirit can honor. Now we can go through this section. Zion is the highlight of Jerusalem, the beauty of the holy city. So in a church as Jerusalem, there should be some overcoming ones. And their being is the factor of the church being beautiful. They don't stand out. This is not the time of their manifestation. But they are the highlight. B, the characteristics, the life, the blessing, and the establishment of Jerusalem come from Zion. In actuality, there are Jerusalems, that is, local churches today, with no Zion. There's no Zion. So, the blessing is minimal. You don't have the sense of establishment, of solidity, of security, of unshakableness. See, in the New Jerusalem, in the New Testament, the overcomers are likened to Zion. In Revelation 14:1, the 144,000 overcomers are not just in Jerusalem, they are on the peak of Zion. In the church age, the God-men who have been perfected and matured are Zion, the overcomers. So who are they? This is the description. Okay, they are God-men. They are believers, increasingly mingled with God. And they are matured. We need to know the difference between transformation and maturity. Transformation is a matter of being changed in life. You're natural. Now you are a resurrected, transformed being in life and nature. To be mature is to be filled with the divine life that changes you to the point of overflowing. If your personal goal is transformation, I would say that's too short. Hebrews 6 says, let us be brought on to maturity. And one of the tactics of the enemy in so many not young saints has been to retard, even to stop their growth in life, than to numb them concerning it. And they may not know. Actually, they were better off 30 years ago than now. Because in these 30 years, you've been swallowed up by your disposition and peculiarity. And one reason for this is the need to be perfected, to be equipped, supplied, trained, and I would have to say touched. But some dear saints, there's this invisible sign, but it's there. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Okay. Then these dear ones stay the same. In the church, in Jerusalem, in the meetings, at the feasts, doing all the outward things. But no Zion with them. And what is the Lord to do? The Lord must look for those who are open. Who is open? Who is available? Whose being is open to me? I have to tell you the truth. I hope you're not offended. I don't believe my spirit will be offensive. I'm tired of the so-called consecrations that are really promises to do something. I consecrate to read all the life studies in 3 years. I consecrate to do this. That's your promise. Consecration means, and Brother Ed made this very clear, we present ourselves to the Lord and to allow Him to work on us, to work in us. It's not to promise to do this or that. So you read all the life studies in 3 years. But the Lord does not have access to your being in those 3 years. There needs to be in many of us a prayer for this. This week, I was deeply touched and supplied by some emails and texts I received from within a hospital in Vancouver, Washington, where there in intensive care is a dear brother hardly anyone knows. Not an honorable member, not known. In his middle 70s. Had emergency surgery to save him from twisted bowel. Then he had a massive heart attack in the hospital. And I was given a way to contact him. He is reigning in life there. He is praising the Lord there. When he was on the gurney, when they're taking him to another place for a certain processing, he is praising the Lord. He's saying, Lord, it can't get better than this. He's praying for the saints to grow in life. That's Zion. Brother Jack Pakula, reigning in life in Zion. Amen. Who knows such a brother? Who would honor such a brother? But the Lord does. All the saints are supplied. All the saints are touched by being with Him. That's the blessing from Zion. That's the life. That's the establishing. Now the points under D. The church is the heavenly Jerusalem, and the overcomers are Zion as the high peak and the highlight. The church life is today's Jerusalem. And in the church there must be a group of overcomers. These overcomers are today's Zion. The overcomers are for the building up of the body of Christ to consummate the new Jerusalem. None of us can have a badge that says overcomer on it. By overcomers, we mean those who are aspiring, those who are praying, those who are consecrated, those who are open, and those who are exercised. to experience and enjoy Christ, to be constituted with Christ, to live Christ, and to minister Christ for the building up of the body of Christ as the preparation of the bride of Christ. The overcomers conquer the satanic chaos in the old creation. My brother in that intensive care unit is conquering chaos. Amen. What an honor to have fellowship with him. To be able to call up another brother on the phone and he puts it on a speakerphone and I can hear my brother testify and thank and praise the Lord. And carrying out the divine economy for the new creation. Five, the Lord needs the overcomers to carry out the economy of God, to have a body, and to destroy His enemy. What a commission we have. While we're building up the body, the enemy is being destroyed. Point six, without the overcomers, the body of Christ cannot be built up. And unless the body of Christ is built up, Christ cannot come back for His bride. Some time ago, I was in a certain place, and a dear brother, a young brother, fellowship with me a matter. And he said that he heard someone say, the Lord will come back very soon because the bride is nearly ready. This is my response. I'm not in the matter of right and wrong. This is my response. I said, oh, the bride is just about ready? That means the body of Christ has been built up. Would you take me there? Would you show it to me? The reality of the body of Christ? We'll see the corporate God-man living, a life of conformity to the mold of Christ's death by the power of His resurrection. In 1994, Brother Lee said with a heavy heart, this is in print, in the practical points concerning blending. He did not see the reality of the body of Christ anywhere. The Lord asked him, you have all these churches, is this all I want? That burden brought in the blending, because blending is a way into reality. Well, that has been 17 and a half years ago. Maybe we have progressed. Maybe not that much. Do you know what the goal of the Lord's recovery is? The exact goal. And what our commission is in the Lord's recovery? The goal of the Lord's recovery is to build up the organic body of Christ in the local churches as a reality. This is Zion in Jerusalem. When the Lord Jesus comes back for us, He will come as the bridegroom. What comes out from Christ and is built up is His body. What is presented to Christ at His coming is the bride. Now please note this. The building up of the body is the preparation of the bride. As the body is built up by growth in life unto maturity, the bride is being prepared. When in the eyes of the Lord, the overcomers have built up the body sufficiently, he will realize she is ready. My bride is ready. And I will come back. At this point, I need to insert a word concerning the direction of the Lord's move from right now, December 30th, until the time of His manifest coming to establish the kingdom. The direction of the Lord's move among us is first, to build up the organic body of Christ. Second, to prepare the bride as the counterpart for the bridegroom's satisfaction. And third, to bring in the kingdom. However, between the bride and the kingdom, there are two other matters. So this is the sequence, according to the divine revelation. The body, the bride, the army, the stone, and the kingdom. Everything hinges on the body being built up. When the body is built up, the bride is prepared, and she will be raptured. Then the bride herself will become the army. She doesn't even have to change. She doesn't have to ask, Lord, what should I wear when I go to Armageddon with you? He may say, dear, what you have on is fine. Your wedding dress is your uniform. Just get on your horse and follow me. Then there's the army to defeat the Antichrist's army. He's warring directly against God. Then the second big problem that God had must be solved. The first was the old creation, solved in the Lord's first coming by His death on the cross. The second big problem is human government, which exalts man, worships idols, and rebels against God. And the Lord is coming with the overcomers as a corporate smashing stone to hit the 10 toes of the image, and then the entire system of human government will blow away like chaff. Amen. Then the stone becomes a great mountain filling the whole earth. Body, bride, army, stone, kingdom. Now think backwards. In order for there to be the kingdom, there must be the stone. Before there can be a stone, there must be the army. The army must be preceded by the bride, and the preparation of the bride depends on the building up of the body. This is the crux of it. Will we succeed or not during our lifetime? I don't know how long the Lord will give me. I hope it's at least long enough to touch with you the reality of Zion in the Lord's recovery. Amen. This is it. This is Zion. I think you know. I'm not drawing attention to myself. I'm being transparent. This is my being. Zion. It's the reason for existence in the Lord's recovery. It's the reason to get up. The reason to maintain my health. The reason to seek the Lord, to read the Word, is that He may have His heart's desire. Zion in the local churches. Now we'll go on. How much faster? I don't know. How long this will be, I don't know. It won't be past 6 o'clock. But what I care for is the full discharge of this many-faceted burden. Amen. Are we together in this? Amen. K.E., the Lord's recovery is to build up Zion. Amen. This is actually a direct quote. Zion is the reality of the body of Christ, consummating in the New Jerusalem. And in the Lord's recovery today, we must endeavor to reach this high peak. The highest peak in God's economy is Zion, the reality of the body of Christ. And in the church life, we need to reach this high peak. Now we have a definition that puts Zion, reality, and the overcomers together. In fact, the reality of the body of Christ, Zion, is the corporate living of the perfected God-men, who are genuine men. They are Jesusly human, approachable human beings, genuine men. But they live by the life of the processed and consummated triune God, whose attributes are expressed through their virtues. This is Zion. This is the reality. These are the overcomers. I believe that the Lord, in the stage of intensification of His ministry, is well able to make us this. Amen. We all came from the same source. We're all a flesh of sin. We're an old man in the old creation. We have a body of sin, a body of death. We have a self. We have a disposition. We have peculiarities. The cross is so powerful, it deals with every negative thing. Amen. Resurrection is so prevailing, it brings in every positive thing. Amen. We simply need to love the Lord, open to Him, and give ourselves to Him. Amen. And pray, Lord, for the sake of Zion, make me part of this. Part of this corporate God-man. F. In the new heaven and new earth, the entire New Jerusalem will be Zion. Wonderful, but I don't want to wait until then. Do you? No. The New Jerusalem, the eternal Mount Zion, will be the Holy of Holies, the place where God is. G, the only way to reach the high peak of Zion is by praying. Okay, but praying in a particular way, which I will try to explain. In order to reach Zion by praying, we need to know the significance of prayer for the carrying out of God's economy. So here is the significance of prayer. It's what Brother Nee calls the principle of prayer. It's not that I feel something, I need something, I want something, so I ask for it. That may be prayer, or it may not be prayer. What we're talking about is this. In God is a will. In God is a desire, an intention. But He will not act alone to carry it out. This is not like the creation of the universe, where He did everything by speaking. Rather, He wants His people on the earth to be open to Him, to be one with Him, and to agree with Him, so that His will becomes their will. His intention becomes their intention. His desire becomes their desire in their fellowship with Him. This is John 15:7. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. You can even say, well, wow, I wish for a yacht. I wish for this and that. No, no. When the words abide in you and operate in you and impart to you God's desire, and that becomes yours, you want it. You want it. And so you say, Lord, I want 500 churches in India by 2020. Amen. Well, that might be an example, or it might not be an example. Let the Lord and the body decide. Prayer begins with the Lord's will, desire, and intention. We are in fellowship with Him. The church is open to Him. He imparts this to us. Don't ask me how, in the way of method. There is no method. There's only persons vitally contacting one another, living in one another, mingled together, in union. Then we pray what is deep in our being. And that prayer is the expression of the Lord's desire. So He fulfills His desire by fulfilling our desire, which is the expression in prayer of His desire. I don't know to what extent in the sizable prayer meetings of the church this will ever happen. I don't know. But surely it can happen. It will happen. It is happening in genuine vital groups. You have a few who are in harmony. They are absolutely one. And they are one with the body. What the heavens have bound, they bind. What the heavens have released, they released. It would be so good if the church in Anaheim, every soul would be quieted, everyone would be subdued, no ripple of the natural life, but I'm not waiting for utopia. It may or may not happen, but it will happen. It can happen. It is happening in genuine vital groups. And these vital groups, they are Zion in miniature. That's the reality of the body of Christ. That is the overcoming life. They are one with the Lord, and their prayer expresses His desire. That's the kind of prayer we're talking about. So prayer is man breathing God, obtaining God, and being obtained by God. Real prayer is an exhaling and inhaling before God, causing us and God to contact each other and to gain each other. Prayer is man cooperating and co-working with God, allowing God to express Himself and His desire from within Him and through Him, and thus accomplish His purpose. Zion needs this kind of prayer. Brother Lee says in that special fellowship in chapter 5 of the Practical Points Concerning Blending, the only way to reach this high peak is by praying. And I cannot give a full message on this. There's much more to say about the kind of prayer that is intrinsic, that causes us to enter experientially into all the intrinsic things of God's economy. For the sake of the body, the bride, the army, the stone, and the kingdom. We have to go on. 3. In the Psalms of Ascents, Psalms 120 to 134, we see the preciousness of Zion and Jerusalem to the saints. In all these Psalms, the house and the city are the center. In Psalm 122, we see the saints' love for the house of God in Jerusalem. We're not ashamed to say we love the church. Amen. I'm not ashamed to say I love the church in Anaheim. Amen. I love the church in Chicago. Amen. We love the church. Psalm 125 speaks concerning Jehovah's surrounding of His people. Those who trust in Jehovah are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. They love Mount Zion, and they liken themselves to Mount Zion. This may sound mysterious, but sometimes you contact a certain constituted sister or a certain constituted brother, you have the sense you meet a mountain. You just meet a mountain. They're like Mount Zion. See, Psalm 127 reveals Jehovah's care for and blessing to His people. Instead of laboring in ourselves, we should trust in God, for He will take care of us and He will bless us. Psalm 128 speaks of Jehovah's blessing to Israel from Zion. God always blesses people from Zion. That is, from the overcomers. Now, Psalm 131 merits a little more attention because it's a bridge into Psalm 132 where we see the overcomers' situation on Mount Zion. So I read, it's only three verses. O Jehovah, my heart is not proud, nor are my eyes haughty, nor do I go about in things too great or too wondrous for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Hope in Jehovah, O Israel, from now and to eternity. As we are approaching Zion, and we are under the care of the shepherd of our souls, the Lord will be caring for us in such a way as to cause us to calm down our soul. There is nothing haughty in us, no pride in our heart, and we are weaned. We're not crying anymore. We accept the fact of being weaned. And because we're like a weaned child, our soul is so quiet. This opens the way for God to have His rest among us as Mount Zion. In Psalm 131, a saint speaks about his humbled heart and quieted soul before Jehovah. The psalmist has calmed and quieted his soul within him. He has been weaned or stripped of everything except the Lord. It's a costly way. The way to Zion is the way of loss, then the way of gain. It's a way of stripping, of weaning, until our being finally learns satisfaction is only in the triune God Himself. I don't look for it in my marriage. I don't expect it to come through my children. I'm not disappointed with their situation. I don't dream that it will come through grandchildren. I don't look for anything outward to satisfy my being. Only my God, my processed and consummated triune God, is my satisfaction. The Lord has to have some who have such a vision and who love Him by His love in such a way that they will count all things loss. Phase one. Suffer the loss of all things. Phase two. Then count all things as refuse. I used to wonder, will there ever be any deep happiness, any deep satisfaction anywhere? And my answer now is no and yes. No to anything natural. No to anything human. But a big, wonderful yes to the triune God. We're coming to the final point. We will see that God Himself has His rest only in Zion. And our being cannot have true rest anywhere else. So the Lord, as Job indicates, He has to strip us of what we think we must have or are entitled to be satisfied in this life. And He'll strip us of the envy of those whom we think have this. No more complaints about God not being fair. He's just God. And one day you consecrated to Him. You really did. And you really opened to Him. And now He is relentlessly working on the basis of that consecration, which for many is being renewed even this week. And eventually He will bring you to the point where your soul is weaned like a weaned child. It's quiet. It's calm. You just expect nothing. You don't hope for anything. You don't seek for anything other than the Lord and His heart's desire. You don't want anything in the recovery. You don't want to be anything in the Lord's work. You don't want to be recognized. You're willing to be martyred, not only psychologically, but spiritually. Spiritually. Nothing matters but the Lord's satisfaction and rest. When our heart is humbled and our soul is quiet, we are in a condition that is suitable for God to come in to rest. In such a situation, God can have a resting place, a dwelling. Only when we are humble, calm, and quiet is the situation right for God to enter, to rise up, enter us, and take us as His resting place. This is Zion becoming God's habitation, His resting place, as revealed in Psalm 132. My brothers and sisters, the peace is indescribable. The rest, the quiet, the tranquility, the calm, no matter what is swirling around, no matter what your physical situation is, no matter what your environment is, part of you is in another realm, a divine and mystical realm of awesome reality. And you are just resting with God in Zion, the reality of the body of Christ. So this leads us to Psalm 132. Psalm 132 speaks concerning Jehovah's habitation and rest in Zion through David, typifying Christ, His anointed. In verses 2 through 5, we see David's desire for the house of God. David wanted Jehovah to rise and enter with the ark into His resting place in Zion. Today, this resting place is the overcomers in the churches. There must be sisters and brothers in whose being Christ Himself can rest. They have been willing over the years for Him to answer their prayer of Ephesians 3 again and again. Lord, make Your home deep down in my heart. Fill me unto all the fullness of God. This is the prayer. Ephesians 3, this is the prayer. If you would pray that in your conversation with the Lord every day in 2012, 1 year from now, when we are gathered again, you will realize there's more Christ in my being than 1 year ago. And especially when you pray, Lord, do this, not for my spirituality, not merely even for my personal overcoming, do this for Zion. build Zion by building yourself into my being. Lord, I love you. When it comes down to it, I'm just a simple, even crazy lover of my beloved. Let him kiss me. Let him embrace me. Just, I abandon my being to you. I have no other purpose for existing. I'm not here for anything outward, but for what's real. Only what's real will be manifested in the coming age. Build yourself into me. Work yourself into me. Constitute me. Saturate me. Permeate me. Christify me. Deify me. For the body of Christ. For the bride of Christ. For the kingdom of God. See, in verses 7 and 8, they're figurative of the recovery of the church life. The ark was separated from the tabernacle. This signifies that Christ was with the church, but that he has been separated from the church. Now is the time for us to all say, "Arise, O Jehovah, into your resting place, you and the ark of your strength." Finally, verses 14 through 18 are Jehovah speaking concerning Zion. This is a picture of the top church life. The situation of the overcomers in Zion, the highest peak of God's mountain. I read from verse 13. "For Jehovah has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation." Now God speaks. "This is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless its provision. I will satisfy its poor with bread. And its priests I will clothe with salvation. And its faithful ones will shout with a ringing shout. There I will cause the horn of David to shoot forth. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed one. I will clothe his enemies with shame. But on him his crown will shine." Psalm 132 mentions seven items related to the overcomers. First, resting in God. For God to rest is a great thing. God can rest only when the desire of his heart has been satisfied. We see a picture of this in Genesis 1. Once there is a man in his image with his dominion, God can behold what he has created and say, "Very good," and then rest. In the glorious church, Brother Nee says something like this: "If you want to know God's will, his good pleasure, his purpose, then you need to know what causes him to rest. If you can find out where God rests, you will know what is his will, his desire, his intention." For us to rest in God means that in our union, mingling, and incorporation with him, we have a mutual appreciation of the fulfillment of his purpose, at least in miniature, by the overcomers. We're just not working. God himself is at rest. And there's only one place where he can rest. That's Zion. Actually, God cannot rest that much in Jerusalem. If you are only in Jerusalem, your being will tell you, you're not at rest deeply, neither is God. But when we touch Zion together, we rest with God. We dwell with God, according to John 14, in the way of coherence. We're now a mutual dwelling place. Here we have food for satisfaction. The poor are satisfied with bread. always in our spirit, we're empty, open, sensing. We need God all the time. Our being is poor without Him. He satisfies us with the bread of life, the living bread, the heavenly bread, the true bread, the bread of God. Then glorious clothing, what is called clothed with salvation. Surely this is the expression of God's complete salvation worked out in us. An earlier verse mentions righteousness being the priest's clothing. Now we're clothed with His salvation, saved in life to the uttermost. We have the second garment, the wedding garment. We express what we are in our being. Our clothing is salvation itself. Saints don't have a sense of some unapproachable, awesome spirituality. They realize here is someone who is a sinner saved by grace, who got saved in life. If it can happen to him, it can happen in me. I say amen, amen. Amen. This will be your clothing. Sister, when you get married, I know you have to pay attention to your wedding dress, but I hope both you and he are clothed with salvation. Amen. Then there's a horn of victory. We touch the absolute victory of the overcoming Christ over the enemy. The enlightening lamp. We are just under this gentle shining all the time. And there's a shining crown on our head. This is reigning in life. These are the overcomers. And I would say this, as I'm just about closing. They are living in the reality of the body of Christ. They live here. This is their being. And actually, they are this reality. They are Zion. They're in the church. Seemingly ordinary brothers and sisters, living the church life like anyone else. But their inner being is in a reality that few of us know yet. They just live here. May the Lord cover this precious one. But whenever I have the privilege even to see our dear sister Lee for a moment, I meet reality. What a reality. How blessed we are that she is still with us. May there be more of this reality in all the churches. Brothers, may the Lord kill and annihilate your ambition. But may He nurture your aspiration to be useful for the building up of Zion. So these items portray the situation of the overcomers in Zion, the highest peak of God's mountain. It's 6:10. Maybe the way to end is if two or three of the co-workers on this side and two or three of the co-workers on this side, would you please stand one by one and pray on behalf of us all that we would enter into this reality. And let us take their prayer as the prayer of the body.